James 1, 19 through 20. James is, as I have said before, one of my favorite books in the Bible because it is very, very offensive. In any case, three lessons that we want to look, or we want to learn from this, these two verses, this passage today, is very, very practical. Okay, I've met many young people who said, you know what, the Bible is a little bit confusing because I don't really know what God wants me to do. And sometimes I responded with, have you read it? Okay. All right. So for you guys, if you ever meet friends, okay, Jay, if you meet friends that are like, the Bible is confusing, your first answer is, have you read it? Okay. Usually they're like, oh, yeah. No. Step one to understanding the Bible, open it. Ah, okay, I know it's mind-blowing, it transforms your life. The second is to read it, and read it, and read it again. If you don't still, if you still don't understand it, then ask Elliot. Just kidding. You can ask me. No, you can ask Elliot, too. Okay, Elliot is a fantastic teacher. It's on the internet. Okay, in any case, reading the Bible is very, very important. This is one of those passages where it's very, very practical, very easy to understand. Okay, it's almost like God's like, okay, you wanna live like a Christian? This is how it is. Boom. Okay, very, very simple. So three lessons: speak less, listen more, and control your anger. Very practical lessons. Okay, the first lesson: speak less. We are commanded by God, right? Commanded by God to talk less. And that is very countercultural in the sense that in the modern American culture, it's all about speak your mind, right? Your opinion is very valuable, so you need to speak your mind. Speak your mind, speak your mind. Almost to the point where even as in the Christian faith, it's come to the point where our opinion is almost as important as what God says. That's very bad. Okay, Jay, no, don't shake it. Okay, that's bad. Okay. Against that kind of background, the Bible says, "Speak less." Basically, shut up. Okay. In this world, a little too much noise going on, and everyone wants to give their two cents. If you go home and you turn to CNN or whatever the news channels are, right? Everyone has their own opinion on every topic possible, right? Even if, like, I want to do a test one day and somehow, like, just put in a question, like, what's the better color, yellow or blue? I'm sure they'll have like a whole field day. I think yellow is better because of blah, 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 blah. I think blue is better because blah, blah, blah. I think I actually had a lesson in psychology class in college about colors. Like, oh, the yellow color makes you feel like this, and blue makes you feel like this, right? So everyone has an opinion about everything, right? And that's great to a point. God says, as great as your opinion is, number one, shush, okay? And if you go, you know, I don't know if that's a biblical idea, look in the mirror. Have you ever wondered why we have two ears and one mouth? Right? You look in the mirror and you have two ears, one mouth, right? And we know from the Bible that God doesn't make stuff just like randomly. When God does stuff, He does everything intentionally. Okay, and I still remember many years ago, my mentor, he was talking to he was a youth pastor, and he was talking to a high school student, and I forgot what the whole topic was, and this student had an issue, probably about talking too much or gossiping or something, and I remember this pastor looked at him and goes, you know, your problem is you just talk too much. And he was like, excuse me? He's like, you talk too much. And he's like, you know, there's a reason why God gave you one mouth and two ears. It's because you're supposed to talk half as much as you listen. We got that flipped these days, right? We definitely talk at least, at the very least, two times as much as we listen. And God says, no, there's a reason why I gave you 2 ears and one mouth. Right? Speak at least as half as much as you listen. Okay? And the best example of that is, I've noticed, at least in our church, the boys. Right? Boys, y'all need to listen to this carefully. Right? We're really good at quick reflex talk. Right? If somebody does or says something, we say, oh, you're so stupid. Oh, you're so dumb. Don't be so dumb. Don't be stupid. Don't be pointing fingers. And I want to applaud Elliot for trying to correct that, because he did it so much and I yelled at him for it many times. So now he's like, oh, you are a sinner in need of Jesus. Very true. It's very good, right? Trying to flip that, right? But guys, that's an example, right? How many times, like, something, or another, for the older guys who are driving, how many times have you, like, been driving and, you know, you get caught off or do something, or something happened to you by a bad driver, right? Or, like, you had to follow Elliot somewhere and he does something totally illegal. What the? Elliot, you, what are you, right? It's personal, you know, right? Like, your knee-jerk reaction is to do what? Oh, God, destroy that car, because that person doesn't need to be driving right now. Right? Or something like that. Right? Quick, reflex, thoughtless speech. We need to correct that. Right? Why? Because if you look at God, he speaks very carefully and very intentionally. Look at Jesus in the Gospel of John. He speaks only when he needs to. And even the words that he speaks, he says exactly what he needs to and nothing more. Right? If you look at Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 through 11, it's a pretty mind-blowing passage where it says simply that every word that God speaks accomplishes its purpose and returns to him. Right? What that means is God doesn't waste words. He doesn't mince words. Okay? And so when God tells us to speak less, speak carefully, okay, what he is in fact saying is, be like me, right? If you indeed call yourself a Christian, you need to start talking like your dad, right? The way people sometimes, you know, recognize me, you know, my the older folks, I guess, people that are friends with my dad, they'll look at me, you look like and you act like your dad, right? So as Christians, we start acting and talking like our dad, right? Second lesson, listen more. And this is in connection with, you know, what we talked about before. We have 2 ears. Listen double what we speak, at least, at the very least. And I think Elliot would testify to this for sure. One of the hardest lessons in small group leading, right? You got 10 million things you want to say, but you got to bite your tongue and you got to listen. Why? Mainly because I tell him to, right? And every time someone says something, you want to be like, "That's because you're a sinner." But you can't say that. Right? That's very bad. Right? So you just want to be patient and listen. And then I did this and da 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 da. Right? And even at the retreat on the second night, right? And Johnny was like, "Okay, so if you have some issue that you want to talk to or have me want prayer for, you know, grab your pastor and your small group leader and, you know, you go and talk." And one student came up to me and I was like, okay. So I'm thinking, okay, how am I going to pray for this kid? I know, I should listen to what he's got to say. So, we sat down and you know, I'm listening to this student talk. He talked and talked and talked and talked and talked. It went from like okay, I need to pray for this, like one topic. By the time he was done, like an hour or so later, I had like 4 points that I had to kind of remind myself in my head, like, okay, I need to pray for this and this and this and this, you know? And that's kind of the point, right? To listen, right? And I think, Elliot, you learned that, right? At the retreat, you gotta listen. Even then, it's hard. Because sometimes people talk too much, Sometimes people don't talk enough, right? But listening, that's a good Christian character trait that we all need to have. Listening, right? And again, we see the character of God in this commandment, in that God, if you think about it, is the one person in the whole universe who's got the right to never listen to anyone. Right? Because if you think about it, what can people say to God that he doesn't already know? What can people say to God that he hasn't already thought of already? Nothing. So God is the only person in the whole universe. He has no right to listen to anyone. And he can just speak. Because he's king. He's God. Okay? And he's got that right. However, what we see in God is that though he's got that right, he doesn't exercise it. And he listens. Have you ever thought about the idea of, man, God, the king of the universe, takes time to listen to me. God listens to us. And he hears our prayers. He hears our concerns, our complaints, and our comments. I comment about everything to God. God, I think, you know, this tree is this and whatever. Yeah. But he listens. Doesn't have to, but he chooses to listen. Right? And so this commandment is kind of tied to that. And God is saying, guys, you need to listen more than you talk. Why? Because look at me, look at my character. I don't have to listen to anybody or anything, but I choose to listen to show my humility and my love. Okay? Elliot, Andy, Johnny, Jimmy, they can all tell you, when you're a small group leader and you have to listen to all these things, man, that's humility. That's humility, right? Because you want to be like, just stop talking. Why you keep talking? Stop talking. Okay, let me pray for you right now. Okay? Shows a lot of humility, a lot of love. God is, when we say God is a humble God, I think it's one of those like theory words, like, oh, God is humble, but we don't really know what that means. One example of that is God is humble in that doesn't have to listen to us, but he chooses to. Okay? And the last lesson, controlling our anger. I want to say this is primarily a male command, but it isn't. It's a universal command, right? Because I've seen ladies lose your temper, right? And it's pretty scary. Sometimes it's scarier, right, than guys. For guys, we have like 10 million different things that will make us mad, right? For girls, it could be like 2. But if you get them mad, they will kill you, okay? My brother and I could tell you, when we were in high school in Richmond, right, there was a lot of fights, right? But the way you could tell people who are fighting, if they're guys or girls, if they're guys, the principals would jump in, right, and like break it up. You know that it's a girl fight when the principals aren't jumping in to fight or break it up. What they're doing is they're doing crowd control. They're trying to make sure no one else gets caught in the fight, right? Because I remember, I don't know if you were there for this one, if you were in the school or not, but I remember one day after school, like two girls got in a fight. And they started in the cafeteria, and they went down the hallway and went back into the cafeteria. It was crazy. And the whole time, the principals were there, and they didn't even try to stop it. They were trying to make sure everyone's out of the way. And like, it started as like punching, and it went to scratching, and then it was like, oh no, you didn't. Like, it was one of those things. I'm like, shoot, all this stuff. And then like they went to the cafeteria, you know, like when you guys fight, like you got rules, you know, nothing below the belt, you know, you want to try to mess up someone's face. Girls, like, there's no rules. It's crazy, like, I'm gonna kill you and I don't care kind of like thing. It's psychotic, right? Like when they were in the cafeteria, they were grabbing trays, like it was nuts. It was like a gladiator battle, right? For guys, like, it's not like that, right? Controlling your anger. Right. The lesson in that sub point was, guys, when you get married, don't happy wife, happy home. Remember that. Okay. Controlling your anger. Controlling your anger. There's a reason why I believe James puts it at the end of this trifecta. Right. One of the main reasons, main ways we get angry, is because number one, we talk too much, and we don't listen enough. And this becomes more or the most evident when you are married. Okay? When you're in a relationship. Right? My brother is gonna get in a huge problem if you don't listen or he talk too much. Because I'll be like, yo, stop talking. This is the situation, right? Big problem. Right? Elliot? Right? What you learn in small group, you transfer that in relationships. Right? But that also applies to every single human relationship. You get in trouble with your parents, your friends. When you talk too much, don't listen enough. And especially in the church, your church relationships. When I first got here, right, one of the things that I had to learn was, you know, growing up to learning to be a pastor was, you get to a church and you kind of watch and observe. And I remember there was a lot of battles, interpersonal battles. And one of the reasons why it happened was because you guys just didn't listen to each other. Everyone just wanted to be like, no, you shut up, let me talk. And the other person was like, no, you shut up and let me talk. And that would just, you know, keep building the tension, and then anger happened, and then, you know, and then definitely the righteousness of God was not displayed at our church for a while, I would think. And so controlling our anger is very, very important. And we know, for example, for sure, that in God, there is a very controlled anger. Bible never says God doesn't get angry. God does. However, there is a difference between the anger, that anger of God, and our anger. Our anger, when we're angry, we don't care about anything else other than our personal satisfaction. When you're mad at something or someone, it's because we feel that we've been wronged in some way and we want personal satisfaction. If Hunter, God forbid this day ever happens, but he learns to drive and he cuts off Elliot on the street, Elliot will not rest until Hunter dies. Where the car that Hunter drives is never, ever on the road ever again. Right? Because in that moment of anger, Elliot's personal goal is to destroy Hunter's car. Right? He doesn't care about anything else. Right? But that's not the anger of God. When God gets angry, it's because of sin. When Jesus at the temple, you guys remember in John chapter 2, right? He goes into the temple and Jesus gets pissed. Like, he's just, what in the world? And he's just, right? Like, Jesus Hulk comes out, right? And he's like, starts throwing things and starts like overturning things. He's probably like wrestling a goat and power slamming stuff. That's what I'm thinking, right? In my Bible movie, right? Jesus is like, he's power slamming like the money changers and stuff. What are you doing? Right? But when you look at the anger of God, especially in, you know, when Jesus does all that stuff, it's directed towards sin. There's never a personal gain. There's never a personal goal that he has other than this is sin, this is bad, this dishonors God. Therefore, there is this holy anger to make that right. Okay? And so, what we see is a little bit of what I talked about in my seminar in terms of in these commands, what we see is the holiness of God. Okay, these commands reflect more than anything the character of God. That God talks very carefully, very intentionally. God listens, and God's anger is very controlled and very directed towards sin. However, we are not like that at all, right? We talk more than, you know, we listen. Our anger is out of control and just directed at everything and everyone to achieve personal satisfaction. And so there is this break. What do we do with this? Our only hope is in Christ. Right? Our only hope is in Christ. Why? Because it is Jesus who comes and he speaks to us very carefully, very intentionally. Right? It is Jesus who comes and listens to all our complaints and all our nonsense. He takes it all in. And lastly, it is Jesus who takes the anger, our selfish anger, on the cross. And at the same time, he takes the holy anger of God on our sin on the cross. And what we see on the cross is this humongous intersection of our sin and God's holiness. And he nails it on the cross. And then when he comes back, that is our hope. That in trusting in Jesus, our weakness, our inability is dead. Right? In Colossians, we see that we are, our sinful self is crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20. I keep saying this to you guys, right? That you guys need to memorize that passage. That, right, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. The life I now live, right, in my body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Right? That's what that means. That on the cross, all our inability, all our failures, all our weakness died. And when Jesus rose again from the grave, our new life, right? The new Nathan, the new Elliot, right? The new Grace got up out of that grave. And so that is the hope that we have going into the new year. That we live not by faith, or not by flesh, but by faith in the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. Let's pray.